Hello and welcome, listeners, to the first episode of Literary Review. This podcast channel is brought to you by Ishan Sirfani and Sahir Ali. Sahir will be joining us later along the show, so for right now, you're stuck with me. Insert evil laugh here. Ha 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 ha. Alright then, let's move on. Hopefully I'm done being weird. Psych. Okay, so today we will be doing a literary analysis of the renowned book, Uncle Tom's Cabin. Hey, fun fact. Abraham Lincoln once met Harriet Beecher Stowe, who is the author of Uncle Tom's Cabin, and President Lincoln said, "So this is the little lady who started this great war." Sorry, that's my best Lincoln impression. But what President Lincoln meant when he said this is that this book was the spark that ignited the Civil War and the fight for abolishment. This book was one of the many first stepping stones of this newly emerging ideology of the abolishment of slavery. The justification that people offered for slavery during the time was that, quote-unquote, everybody does it. This is the same argument that is presented in the modern day when people wear socks with sandals. But just because everybody does it does not make it right. This book was the beginning of the challenging of social norms during the time period, much like the modern day equivalent of late night satirical TV. I kid, of course, this novel was far, far much more influential and more important than a couple of poorly written late night skits. Sahir, if you wouldn't mind telling us a bit about it.
Well, Ishan, first I'd like to say thank you for having me on the show.
Not a problem, buddy.
Alright, well, I read Uncle Tom's Cabin last year, so I remember it quite fondly. The historical significance of Uncle Tom's Cabin is that it was the beginning spark of the Civil War. In essence, the book was about the horrors of slavery in America during the time period. Uncle Tom's Cabin was in fact the most read book of the 19th century. So as one would expect, there were lots of different ways in which different people perceived the book. Uncle Tom's Cabin was better perceived and more read in the North as opposed to the South, and this book was one of the main reasons why people in the North took up arms against those in the South. This book continuously perpetuated a message of the terrible acts that would be performed on people solely due to the color of their skin, and those people of the North who have traditionally shared more open-minded values got angered at this. It is amazing how a book comprised of nothing but words on a paper can be so influential to start a major war. Almost everyone was either on the pro-slavery side or the anti-slavery side, but there weren't many people who didn't belong to either. This book helped sectionalism in the South grow, and I cannot express how important this book was in terms of how it influenced our modern ideals. This book influenced everything from these fictional characters in this story to doctrine of Martin Luther King Jr. and that, my friends, is power.
Alright, folks, well, there you have it. That concludes the historical significance of the novel, and now we're moving on to themes.
And boom, just like that, we're on themes. There's one particular theme of this novel that I would like to discuss, and that theme is racism, particularly the eradication of it. Arguably, racism is the main theme of this book. This piece of literature was written by Harriet Beecher Stowe in order to shake up the normalized standards by which people would look at slavery. She was among the first to call out the wrongs in the practice of which one person would submit to another's will. To further this point, I'd call Harriet Beecher Stowe a true patriot because she fired the first shot in the Battle of Abolishment. In the book, African Americans are repeatedly seen as inferior and are spoken to as children, which is an insult to the intellectual capabilities of black people. In chapter 7 or 8, I believe, the book states that Eliza was able to roam around the town and she and her son passed off as white because the two were light-skinned enough. This further shows how trivial and how silly and just how wrong it is to base one's competence and their value based upon race. Similarly, another example of blacks being treated as inferior is with George Harris. George was a slave who was married to Eliza, and he worked for a different master. Ever since childhood, George had a talent for inventing things. He was put to work at a factory, and all the proceeds would go to his master. Despite all that, his master was still not content. Quote, "He held himself so erect, looked so handsome and manly, that his master began to feel an uneasy consciousness of inferiority. What business had his slave to be marching around the country, inventing machines, and holding his head up high among gentlemen?" So, all in all, this huge theme I see present in the novel is the struggle of racial discrimination. Also, there's no end to the amount of examples of racism within the book, so moving along. Sahir, do you have any thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with your premise that racism was a big theme, but another one that I noticed which really jumped out at me was Christianity. Numerous allusions to the Bible were explicitly stated in the novel. Tom himself, who is the main character, is a devout Christian. This book challenges Christian values against those of the economic interests of slavery. In a basic sense, the book says that it is hypocritical to be both slave-owning and Christian. In the book, Uncle Tom is a Jesus-like figure. He is constantly looking to forgive others despite any wrongs they have committed against him, and is always looking to protect others. The author, Harriet Beecher Stowe, believed that by following true Christian ideals, people would come to an understanding of how morally wrong slavery is.
Wow, that was a pretty interesting take on the novel. Thank you for taking time out for the show.
Anytime, man.
Alright, so now we're moving on to characterization. Are you guys as psyched as I am? Well, of course you are. So, let's begin with a character by the name of Mr. Haley. I'd like to first start off with Mr. Haley instead of someone like Tom, because Haley is a part of Harriet Beecher Stowe's wider social commentary. He is, quote, well, not quote, but he is the depiction of every other white man in the country. That's how his views are. So, to share some of them with you, I'd like to say a quote by him. He says, quote, "Some folks don't believe there's pious niggers, Shelby." Now, just by hearing this little derogatory statement, you can see how his views are towards minority races. And again, this helps to build his character. Haley is seen numerous times downplaying and like beating up, if not literally, then verbally, several African Americans. Now, it could be argued that Haley wasn't a bad person, it was just that he was acting in accordance to his time period. But other people, such as Mr. Shelby, were more open-minded and less pro-slavery. Mr. Haley denounced himself as a humane man. Again, quote, humane. But he was cruel towards the treatment of the slaves and viewed them as inferior beings. Haley numerous times has been seen as having a bigoted view towards those of an inferior class and those of descent other than European. Another quote by him is, quote, "Lord bless ye, yes, these critters ain't not like us white folks, you know. They gets over things, only man is right." This is another quote which can characterize Shelby as biased and hate-filled towards other races. One last quote to describe Haley, and this is in regards to his physical appearance, is, quote, "One of the parties, however, when critically examined, did not seem strictly speaking to come under the species. He was short, thick-set, with coarse, commonplace features, and that swaggering air of pretension which marks a low man who is trying to elbow his way up in the world. He was overdressed in a gaudy vest of many colors, a blue neckerchief, bedropped gaily." Now, this quote characterizes Shelby as a rather flamboyant person, and it gives the readers better depth and more understanding as to how Haley looked and acted like. Next up is Mr. Shelby. Mr. Shelby was the original owner of Tom. In Kentucky, they had a very peaceful atmosphere, but Mr. Shelby ran into deep financial trouble, which led to Mr. Shelby having to sell Tom and Harry. I believe that Mr. Shelby's character was made in order to counteract the harshness of other white men in the book and perpetuate the fact that not all white people are bad. Mr. Shelby states that he did everything he possibly could, just short of begging, so that he wouldn't have to sell Tom and Harry. However, additionally, I believe that despite Mr. Shelby's surprisingly modern-day leaning views, he is still in some sense influenced by his environment. Mr. Shelby asks Harry to dance as if he were an object, and also, despite being in deep financial trouble, Shelby didn't even consider letting his wife work to make money in order to help the situation. Shelby, in some sense, is a foil to Simon Legree. Simon Legree is the next character who we will be characterizing. Simon Legree was a plantation owner who was extremely cruel. He became Tom's new owner following the ironic death of St. Clair, who was the man who Haley sold Tom to after being taken from Shelby.
Simon attempted to have Tom abuse other slaves and become an overseer, but Simon could not break Tom's good spirit. Uncle Tom took several beatings for himself, but did not lay a finger on anybody else. Simon Legree is quoted as saying, "Use up and buy more's less trouble, and it comes cheaper in the end." Now, this shows just how nasty of a personality that Simon had. In today's time, I don't even believe animals are equated to such a disgusting level of unimportance and ill treatment. Just as Haley was meant to depict a picture of how most white people are during this time period, Simon is shown as an extreme character, one that we tend to associate with the animated version of the South. In the entire novel, there is no mercy in this man's heart. His character is meant to portray the devil versus Tom, who is metaphorically at least an angel.
Now for the moment that we've all been waiting for, the characterization of good old Uncle Tom. Uncle Tom was described from the very beginning as, quote, "Tom is a good, steady, sensible, pious fellow. He got religion at a camp meeting 4 years ago, and I believe he really did get it. I've trusted him since then with everything I have. Money, house, horses, and let him come and go around the country, and I always found him to be true and square in everything." This was a quote by Shelby, who was his previous master, but yes. In a sense, on the surface, this is all you need to know about Tom. This quote describes Tom almost entirely. I'd go as far as saying that Tom was meant to represent a Jesus-like figure in the book. I believe that Tom's character was meant to portray Jesus and to say that the Lord doesn't condone the actions of slave owners. To reiterate, Tom is a good, sensible Christian man who is honest, hardworking, and not to mention loyal. In fact, Tom is so loyal that despite having multiple opportunities to flee to Canada, as people told him to, quote, make tracks for Canada, he said that his master would not be pleased if he did so. Tom upheld his responsibility towards the Shelbys despite being in bondage and eventually even being sold. This type of behavior brings into question whether Tom's moral compass and character made him so loyal, or was it the brainwashing over the years that made Tom so passive in terms of his treatment? I think the author Nishatha Singh said it best. She said, quote, "Sometimes being nice is too dangerous, and in Tom's case, indeed it was." When everybody is bad-mouthing Haley, Tom says, quote, "Pray for them that spitefully use you." This quote essentially means to do what Jesus would do and turn the other cheek. This quote highlights Tom's care, compassion, and kindness, but also shows his unequivocal ignorance towards the wantingness to better his situation.
Tom even saved the daughter of his new slave owner, St. Clair, not out of fear or even out of command, but simply out of the goodness of his heart. And now, finally, we move on to the last aspect of the novel, which is literary elements and rhetorical devices. Within the book, imagery is used time and time again. Again, the reason for this is that Harriet Beecher Stowe wished for people to sympathize with the experience of slaves. And what better way is there to do this than to have people visualize it? Imagery is a powerful tool in terms of persuasion. An example of Harriet Beecher Stowe using it in the book is when describing Uncle Tom's cabin. Quote, "The cabin of Uncle Tom was a small log building. In front of it, it had a neat garden patch, which flourished under careful tending." This image makes our mind paint a picture of how Uncle Tom's cabin must have looked. It paints a picture of peace and tranquility, and was meant to show that times were good. This point in the story is used as a point of contrast in the minds of readers for them to compare the situation of Tom as the book progressed as opposed to how his situation was with the Shelbys in Kentucky. Next up, there's allusions. Allusions were the next big literary device that were used in Uncle Tom's Cabin right next to imagery. There were many religious allusions, obviously, as well as those from Shakespeare and just a lot of others. One such allusion was, quote, "I should have said, is thy servant a dog that he is to do such a thing?" End quote. This quote means that, this quote was said by Shelby, and it means that one person does not have the authority over another person to command him to do something, to force him to do something. Next up is, quote, "Pray for them that spitefully use you, the good book says." Now, this quote again is talking about turning the other cheek when one harms you. The reason why Harriet Beecher Stowe chose to have so many allusions, particularly from the Bible, within this text is that she wanted to emphasize the fact that the Bible does not condone the wrong treatment of another. The last quote that I have for an allusion is, quote, "Master George, by request, read the last chapters of Revelation." Revelation is a section within the Bible, and I believe that that allusion is rather self-explanatory. So next up, we have symbolism. The cabin itself, Uncle Tom's cabin, was a symbolism of the good old days. I believe that the cabin was relatively a symbol of heaven, in a sense. The cabin, in contrast to other places, seemed much like heaven. Uncle Tom's cabin in Kentucky, when he lived in peace and harmony, he had a family, was sort of an ideal life for a slave. It's right up there, right next to being free. He is treated as a human as opposed to an animal when he has this cabin, and later on, as the book progresses, we see how good the cabin was as opposed to what Tom's situation becomes as the book progresses. Another big symbol, I believe, is the Legree Estate. It is shown as a symbolism for hell. Quote, "What was once smooth-shaven lawn, dotted here and there with ornamental shrubs, now covered with frowsy, tangled grass. A large garden that was now grown over with weeds." End quote. This is a depiction of the house of Simon. He refused to take care of his property, and by his standpoint, he considered the slaves as his property as well. So he also did not take care of the slaves in turn. The treatment of slaves in the Legree Estate could be equated to hell. Simon states, quote, "Ye see what ye get. If ye run off, those dogs has been trained to track niggers, and they just as soon as chow one of ye up is and eat his the supper." End quote. This quote means that there was literally no escape from Simon's plantation, just like there's no escape from hell. And with that, we conclude symbolism and this podcast. Thank you so much, listeners, for your time, and now hopefully you have a better, more in-depth understanding of Uncle Tom's Cabin. Yes! So with that, I hope you have a great rest of your day, and once again, thank you, listeners.